Thank you. ज्ञानचिमिदण्डस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथं विधं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकण्ठ राधाकण्ठ नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चना गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पञ्चकल्पतरूप्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासति गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरि 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 राम हरि राम 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 हरि हरि हरे
To be with all of you this evening. Thank you very much. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he emphasized a principle that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed to be foremost on the path of bhakti. Lord Chaitanya quoted from the scripture that through all various means of spiritual practice, one can only truly know Krishna by following in the footsteps of the great souls. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. Srila Prabhupada told us we cannot imitate enlightened, pure devotees of the Lord. Following in the footsteps means living by their teachings and trying to very honestly and realistically apply the examples that they have established in every moment of our lives. Haridas Thakur, he chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every day without fail. And when he was in his very old age, and it became for him to complete his rounds, he told Lord Chaitanya that he was
spiritually diseased condition.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him that you have already descended and fulfilled the purpose of your incarnation in this world. To establish the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names through your teachings, through your example. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who knows past, present, and future, knows that Haridas is going to be the inspiration for countless people forever. Thakur Haridas, he prayed only one desire be fulfilled, that he not see the closing chapter of Lord Chaitanya's Leelas. That with his eyes gazing upon the moon-like face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his feet pressed to his heart, and with Lord Chaitanya's holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, vibrating on his tongue, that he could leave this world. Lord Chaitanya said that the greatest joy I have of being here is in the association of you. Why do you want to leave me? Haridas said, why are you creating this illusion? There were thousands and thousands of devotees who are fit to sit on my head. I am insignificant. If an ant dies, a little insect ant, what is the loss to the world? Please fulfill my wish. His spirit, his determination, his humility, his faith in the holy name. As the Namacharya, it is the highest dharma to follow in his footsteps. Haridas Thakur is said to be none different than Prahlad Maharaj. What was Prahlad's faith in Krishna? In every situation, whether he was reigning as the king of the world later on, or whether he was being thrown in pits of snakes, fire, or off of mountains, it was all the same to Prahlad, because he was remembering Krishna. Krishna, I'm yours. Lord Chaitanya gave us this principle. This is love. My beloved Krishna, if you want, you can embrace me. or make yourself visible before me. Or if you like, you can trample upon me, or break my heart in separation. If you want, you may neglect me. You are free to do anything you please, because I am your servant unconditionally. This was Prahlad. And his compassion. His compassion that even to the person who hated him and did everything possible to disturb him, Prahlad's only prayer, "Let me always remember you, Lord, and give Hiranyakashipu, my father, liberation. Forgive him." Lord Shiva is a Mahajan. When the whole ocean was being poisoned due to the unlimited quantity of deadly poison that was gushing from the ocean of milk, the demigods, with all their power, were helpless. They approached Vishnu, and Vishnu directed them to approach Shiva. Vaishnavanam yatashambhu Mahadev. And with hardly a second thought, he took permission from his good wife, Parvati, to drink all the poison. To take it all himself for the welfare of others. Srila Prabhupada, he manifested that compassion. He manifested that faith in the holy names. So we have great faith that by following his teachings and assisting him in that mission of compassion, is the most intimate way by which Krishna will bless us. And everything else will be given. If we are sincere to really grasp what he is giving us and to really be grateful and to open our hearts to receive it and to reciprocate through our sadhana, through our prayer, to our seva. Yesterday, many of you did the Govardhan Parikrama. Please raise both of your hands and say Hari Bol if you did Parikrama. That was very enthusiastic. How that parikrama that you have done yesterday is literally following in the footsteps of the great saints. Because on the same path, since time immemorial, the greatest acharyas have been doing this Govardhan parikrama. It was established by Krishna. Krishna did Govardhan Parikrama. Krishna worshipped Govardhan Hill. And he inspired Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka, all the Sakis and all the Gopis, Subal and Sridhama, all the Gopas, everyone worshipped Govardhan Hill. And they all walked around with all their Sarabi cows and calves. many years later. Madhavendra Puri came to Brajbhumi, and he was going to the 12 forests. He performed the parikrama of Sri Giriraj. As did his associates, Nityananda Prabhu, Govardhan Parikra, Ishwara Puri, all of these great souls, they had done Govardhan Parikra. Advaitacharya came to Vrindavan and did the Govardhan Parikra. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came. And there's a beautiful description in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of how he was embracing the stones of Govardhan Hill and how he worshipped each of these holy places around Govardhan Hill. And his most intimate followers, Rupa Goswami, would regularly come to Govardhan to do parikrama. Sanatan Goswami, when he was living at Chakaleshwar Mahadev near Manasi Ganga, every day would do the Govardhan parikrama. Raghunath Das Goswami, living at Sri Radha Kund, every day would do Govardhan parikrama. Jiva Goswami would come here. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, when he was living at Radha Kund, would every day do Govardhan parikrama. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Yugarbha Goswami. When Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya were living with Jiva Goswami, he sent them to do parikrama with Raghava Pandit, who lived in a cave at one of the ends of Govardhan Hill, near Poncheri. And there's a beautiful story in Bhakti Ratnakar where Thakur Narottam Srinivas and Raghava Pandit are doing the Govardhan Parikrama. And in generations, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, when they were living here, in other sampradayas, Shripad Balabhacharya, Vitalnath, the great acharyas of the Nimbark Sampradaya, they saw the Govardhan Parikrama as was the highest, deepest, most intimate connections that we could make with Sri Sri Radha Krishna in our worship of Giriraj. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they had a home near Radha Kund. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would bring large gatherings of people for Braj Mandala Parikrama and Govardhan Parikrama. And our beloved Srila Prabhupada, as it has been discussed many times over the last few days, even when he was in his last days in this world, it was his deep desire to perform the parikrama of Sri Giriraj. Even though his body would not live, he couldn't even walk, he requested, "Put me on bullock, ox cart, and I will go around." But Prabhupada, if you do, you will die. Prabhupada, what more beautiful way to die will there be than doing Govardhan? So when you are doing parikrama, understand that this dust of Brajbhumi, It is, Brajbhumi is descending from Goloka. It is the eternal abode of the Lord manifesting on this earth. In the dust of Brajbhumi, so sacred. Sometimes separation helps us not take things for granted. In 1971-72, when I was living in Vrindavan, it was more forest and very simple place. Now it's become quite popular to the world, which is wonderful. But I was always being told and always seeing in great Vaishnavas how they honored the dust of Brajbhumi. It was such a deep part of their devotion, the dust of Brajbhumi, that when I had to leave, I filled little pouches with dust so that every day, wherever I am in the world, I would eat some. Which I did. Of course, when I came through customs in America and they found little pouches of dust, they were ready to put me in prison. They thought it was some sort of intoxicating drugs. They said, "What is this?" I said, "It is dirt." They looked at it and they smelled it. And I was thinking, how fortunate they are. Because the dust is so fine. And it was this little cloth bag. It was actually given to me by the Dalai Lama's people in Tibetan area. They gave me these little cloth bags. So I put the dust of Vrindavan, because they were about this big, and they had little strings, then you open it. And when you open it, they're very handmade, so when you open it, it goes like tsh. So when the customs agents opened, they said, "What is this?" I said, "It is dirt." And they said, they were ready to get, they were police themselves. They felt they got me. Dirt. What kind of a terrible excuse is that? You know, dirt. Who carries dirt around with them? Coming from Afghanistan and Iran and India and Nepal, you know, it's definitely going to be drugs. So they opened it, and it was, they couldn't open it. They finally, and the dust went, you know, just, and it flew in their eyes and in their nose, and they smelled it. They said, "It is dirt." And I was thinking, how fortunate. The dust of Braj at JFK immigration, customs. But this dust is so sacred, because it is the dust of the spiritual world. It is Chintamani. And the dust that you walk through is forever mixed. Not in a material way, in a spiritual way. Shri Shri Radha Shamsundar, during the springtime, would perform their Rasa Leela here at Govardhan. It's the dust of the feet of Shri Radha. It's the dust of the feet of Shri Krishna. It's the dust of the feet of all of the sakis and gopis and manjaris. It's the dust of the feet of all the gopas, the sakas and the gopas. When they would herd their cows, it's the dust of the hooves of the sacred Surabhi cows of Krishna and their calves and bulls. It's the dust of the feet of Madhavendra Puri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis and all the acharyas and all the Brijabasis. It's the dust of the feet of all the tens and millions of people that have done this parikrama with faith and devotion throughout the centuries. It's the dust of the feet of Yashoda and Nanda and Upananda and Avinanda and Nandan and Vrishabhanu. They all did this parikrama. Kirtida. On the subject of Kirtida, our own dear Kirtida Devi Dasi from Mumbai, the wife of Vrishabhanu Prabhu, the mother of Radharani and Sri Damasaka. Priyasaki, Murlidhar, and all the grandchildren, one of the most wonderful of all devotees. She is just today in very critical condition. She's at her last stages of cancer. So here at Sri Giriraj, the supreme abode of the Lord, I request all the devotees to kindly pray to Sri Giriraj, to Sri Radha Shamsunda Radha Gopinath, to shower their most intimate blessings upon her. Let us take a moment to offer this prayer. Shall we continue the parikrama that we were doing day before yesterday? Who remembers where we left off? We were speaking from Sri Raghunath Das Goswami's explanation of the Leela of Dhanivartan Kund. There are many, many places at Sri Govardhan. We will only describe a few of them. For two reasons. One is nobody can even know all of them. And two is we only have a short time tonight. From Dhananivartan Kund up until around the place of Shankarshan Kund, it is called Anakuta Kshetra. It is the place where the offering of the Anakuta was arranged by Lord Krishna as an offering to Giriraj. Where the Brijavasis took their entire stock of grains and all the precious gifts coming from Mother Cow, and vegetables, fruits, spices, herbs. They offered everything they had. This was their faith in Krishna. They made massive mounds of rice, mounds of rotis, mounds of various types of sabjis and soups and cakes and sweets. There were lakes, mountains of boga. Today, we try to follow in the footsteps by offering our Anakuta offering. I was told that all of you prepared 1,650 preparations. Is that accurate? It was interesting. My dear godbrother Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu and I were walking through the cooking area where there's over 150 little clay stoves on the ground. And everyone has their, they're all cook, every one of you, you're all cooking in clay pots and using cow dung and wood, and the smoke was incredible. Everyone I saw, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people at a time, so many shifts, and everyone's crying. It was just so simple. Everyone's just sitting in the dust of Braj Bhumi, with little wood and cow dung patties, sitting on the ground, and the stove's just a little clay structure on the ground, exactly as they've been cooking for thousands of years with these little clay stoves. And it was so simple. No technology. And then everybody, when they would come with their offerings on their way to bring them to Sri Giriraj, they'd pass a table, and there was a devotee keeping the record of each offering on a computer. Yes. Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu was very impressed, I think, by that. But we are humbled when we hear what the Vrijavasis offered. And there, Krishna himself manifested himself on Govardhan Hill. An unprecedented, inconceivable, gigantic form. Krishna took a form on Govardhan Hill that was the size of Govardhan Hill. But he was a person. Just to show that Govardhan Hill actually is a person. He's always been a person and will always be a person. Govardhan Hill is none different than me. He manifested that. And with his arms, he was taking all of the mountains and accepting it. He was eating everything. Giriraj eating these offerings is a very sweet revelation of his unlimited greatness. In the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Virat Rupa, the universal form. That's also manifesting the greatness. But Madhurya Dham, Vrindavan, he does it in such sweet ways. Nothing was left. And he was calling, Aniyor, Aniyor, give me more. And from that day, the village where that took place, even today, is named Aniyor. Very special place. And then after Krishna receives all our offerings, because bhakti is reciprocation. As a devotee, everything we have we're getting from Krishna. The air we breathe, the power to see, the power to speak, the power to move, the power to think, it's all given to us by Krishna. Like taking water from Ganga and offering to Ganga. Bhakti means, Krishna, I'm receiving your mercy in so many ways, and I'm offering it back to you with love. And that's the way Krishna is. He received the love of all the Vrijavasis and then offered it back as Maha Maha Prasad. And what a feast they had. Everybody was included. Can you imagine the intoxication of the Vrijavasis? is meditate. They spent so much time and energy making these mountains of prasad, and they saw Giriraj in this incredible form. Even though he was so giant, he was beautiful. He wasn't, like, scary. He was sweet. It's not that people were going, oh. The Virat Rupa, Arjuna was like this. But Giriraj, everyone was, oh. They just fell in love. They gave their hearts. Even when Krishna becomes enormous in Vrindavan, he still has the sweetness of charming the hearts of everyone. Indra was not a Brijbasi, so his heart wasn't charmed until later on. He became kind of like my nature. Krishna takes and reciprocates. Whatever little we give him, if it's offered with love and devotion, Krishna accepts it and reciprocates by giving his grace, his mercy, his love. And there's nothing more priceless that we can strive for than that. Shankarshan Kund, just beyond Aniyur, is a place where is dedicated to Lord Sri Balaramji. Balaramji himself expands to be Krishna's abode, his dham. He expands to be Krishna's furniture and clothes and jewelry and shoes and bed. In every way, Balaram is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. He's Krishna himself in the mood of serving in every way. He's Shantaras by expanding himself as Krishna's paraphernalia. He's Dasyaras in serving Krishna in every possible way. He's Sakyaras by being a cowherd boy and playing with Krishna and joking with Krishna. He's Vatsalyaras as Krishna's elder brother, very protective and caring for Krishna. And he manifests, expands himself as Ananga Manjari, Sri Radha's younger sister, to serve in the conjugal loving affairs of Sri Radha, Krishna, and the gopis. In this way, Balaram is serving in every way. He's all powerful. He's the first from Krishna's Balaram, they are none different except the color of their complexion and the ras that they have with each other. He expands himself as all the Vishnus and all the Narayans and all the incarnations. What is his powers? But yet Balaram appears as Nityananda. Brajendra Nandana Che Sachi Shuta Hoilo She Balaram Hoilo Itai Dinayata Chilo Hadinama Uthadilo Tara Sakshi Jagai Madhai. As Nityananda Prabhu, he is going door to door, village to village, house to house, begging people, please take the name of Krishna. Take the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting Hare Krishna. And his humility, his compassion, showed the world the power of the holy name to the extent of even giving the highest perfection of Premananda Bhakti to Jagai and Madhai. Narottam Das Thakur explains, without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, it is not possible to understand the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath in Vrindavan. He opens the doors through his causeless mercy. At Shankarshan Kund, we honor and take shelter of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and the path that he and his brother Mahaprabhu gave us of the chanting of the holy name. Not far from Shankarshan Kund is Gauri Tirtha, or Gauri Kund. Rupa Goswami writes a beautiful little story about that. In very, very summarized, one day Abhimanyu, who was actually Krishna, who expanded himself as another Gopa to marry Sri Radha, just to make his leelas with Radha more intimately, inconceivably happy forever. So, Abhimanyu and his mother, Jatila, were told that Sri Radha was meeting Krishna. So Abhimanyu decided, we will move away from here to Mathura. So he was walking early one morning, and he met Purnamasi, who was like the guru of all of Brajbhumi. And she said, where are you going? He said, I want your blessings. I'm going to move to Mathura. She said, why? And he told. And for Purnamasi, her heart was trembling. How could Radharani, the ultimate queen and beloved of everyone in Vrindavan, she cannot leave here? So she recommended to him that have Sri Radharani worship Gauri at her temple. Gauri is the wife of Shiva. Of course, it's also a name of Sri Radha, but in this sense, it is Shiva Shakti, Gauri. So Sri Radha went to perform her puja. And Krishna met her there when she was picking flowers. And Jatila and Abhimanyu heard about that. So they decided, we are going to catch them together. So they came. And Krishna talked to Brinda Devi and said, get me the clothes of Gauri. And he made himself a golden color and put on the clothes and the crown of Gauri and stood right in front of the deity, just like a deity. And when Abhimanyu and Jatila came in the temple, they saw Sri Radharani worshipping the deity. At that time, Radharani was playing, please, please, be merciful. And Abhimanyu asked, what is she praying? Jatila asked, why is she praying like this? And Gauri, who was Krishna, spoke, said to one of the gopis, tell her what I have said. And the gopi said, Gauri has said, spoken, that Abhimanyu, in 2 days, he is going to be arrested by Kamsa. comes, he's going to chop off his head and offer it to Lord Shiva. And Radharani is praying to have mercy on him. And Jatila and Abhimanyu were very much, well, is there anything we could do? Is there anything we could do? And Gauri said, no, there's nothing anybody could do. Your head will be sliced off in 2 days by Kamsa. So the only hope is Sri Radharani. Gauri said to Sri Radha, in front of everybody, because of your prayers, because of your, Gauri said, because of your love for me, Krishna speaking, because of your love for me, I will protect Abhimanyu under the condition that you never leave me in Brajbhumi. And Abhimanyu and Jatila cried out to Gauri, we will never, ever, ever take Radharani out of Vrindavan. And Gauri was very happy. She smiled. And everybody, and then Jatila and Abhimanyu were going home and saying, lucky we came there just in time. And Gauri said, you should always know that Sri Radharani is the supreme, ultimate personification of chastity, purity, and love. They said, yes, yes, we understand that, we understand. So they went away very happily. And then Krishna came off the throne and took off his gory clothes and had his wonderful pastimes with Sri Radha. That is one of the stories of Gauri Kund. Then we come a little further to Govinda Kund. Govinda Kund is one of the wonderful places in Sri Sri Radha Krishna's Vasantaras Leela, where he and gopis perform their wonderful pastimes. It is the place that when Indra came, after he sent his devastating rainfall to Vrindavan, with the help of Surabhi, he was able to offer his love and his worship to Krishna. And out of his honest humility, Indra, whose pride was just crushed, he wanted to express that, Krishna, you are the real Indra. You are the real Lord and controller. So they had an Abhishek ceremony to coronate Krishna, the supreme king, lord of all the devas. And that Abhishek took place at Govinda Kund. Surabhi, with her unlimited volumes of pure ecstatic love in the form of milk, bathed Krishna. Airavata brought the Mandakini Ganga from the spiritual world and bathed Krishna. And all the devas and the devis and the rishis and the wives of the rishis, they made all so many beautiful gifts and filled that kund with their love, Govinda Kund. And Indra, your name in Goloka, the spiritual world, is Govinda. And now we proclaim your name to be Govinda here in Gokula Vrindavan. It was there at Govinda Kund that Madhavendra Puri, after doing the Govardhan Parikrama, he was just sitting there meditating on Sri Giriraj. Because right across from Govardhan Hill is Govardhan Hill. I mean, from Govinda Kund is Sri Giriraj. Beautiful darshan. Madhavendra Puri is a Kalpa Briksha tree of Goloka. Samacharyas explain that in Nidiban, or Niduban, in Vrindavan, where Sri Sri Radha Krishna, during their Ras Leela, they would rest there in a special kunj. And while they would rest there, they would rest under a particular kalpavriksha tree. And where even the sakis and even the mantris were shy to come when Sri Sri Radha and Krishna were together in such a resting together after dancing through the Rasa Leela. This particular kalpavriksha tree was there, doing seva, hearing, serving. Most intimate seva. That kalpavriksha tree became Madhavendrapuri. In the Sri Madhva Sampradaya of the Brahma Sampradaya, Madhavendrapuri was the first to manifest Madhurya Ras or conjugal Ras on the path of pure unalloyed love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the episode where he was in Ramakeli telling the story of Madhavendrapuri's life, how ecstatically the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya, Radha and Krishna too, they become one as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. In the form of Sri Chaitanya Krishna with the bhava and the color of the complexion of Sri Radha. How and why is he honoring and worshipping Madhavendrapuri with such love and devotion? Because of their intimacy in the spiritual world of Goloka and the Nitya Leela, and because of Madhavendrapuri's incredible deep ecstasy of love in this world. His disciples, Nityananda Prabhu, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Puri, Ishwara Puri, Advaitacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to be connected as the grand disciple of Madhavendrapuri. So he was sitting there for a long time, just chanting Krishna's names and meditating on Sri Radha Gopinath. And a Lukavar boy came up and told him that, "Oh, Goswamiji, you have been here for a long time. Some people beg for food in my village, and some people don't beg. You're so humble, you don't even beg. So I have come to bring you some milk. Please drink this milk. And I will come back after milking the cows and I will collect the container." Madhavendrapuri said, "How did you know I'm fasting?" The little cowherd boy said that some of the village ladies were coming and getting water from Govinda Kund and they told me. So I have come to serve you. The little boy left. Madhavendrapuri drank the milk. He washed the pot. And he sat in deep, deep transcendental ecstasy, chanting Krishna's holy name. He was chanting and in love all night long, and right toward the end of the night, he happened to go into a sleeping state. That little cowherd boy came again and took Madhavendra Puri by the hand and said, come, come. And he took Madhavendra Puri to a place near Govardhan Hill where there was thick bushes. He said, I am living in those bushes. Long ago, Vajra, the great-grandson of Krishna, formed this deity of mine. And I have been worshipped here since that time. But long ago, some foreign invaders came and terrorized this village of Aniur. And the pujari, he put me in the bushes to protect me, to hide me, and then he left and he never came back. And I have been here. I'm very cold in the winter. I'm very hot in the summer. I'm very thirsty. I'm very hungry. I've just been waiting. When will Madhavendra Puri come? Bring the local Brijabasis of the village. Cut down these thorny branches. Take me out of the bush. And install me on top of Govardhan Hill. Bathe me with thousands and thousands of buckets of pure water from Govinda Kund. Do the Panchamrit and the Panchagavya. Have wonderful ceremonies. And then build me temple. Then the little boy disappeared. And Madhavendra Puri woke up and understood the boy that gave him milk was Krishna. And he didn't recognize him. He was so ungrateful. He was thinking. He was grateful, but he didn't recognize. But instead of just getting down on himself, why didn't I recognize Krishna? He was thinking, Krishna gave me seva. Whatever our state of mind may be, we please Krishna by being absorbed in our seva. He brought the Brijabasis, they cut down the trees, the bushes, not trees. They didn't cut trees, they cut bushes. Cutting bushes doesn't mean killing, it means just cutting. Forgive me if I use the wrong words. And there they found Gopal. Beautiful, beautiful. He was Krishna in the form of Giridhari lifting the Govardhan Hill. And Madhavendra Puri made a throne out of the stones of Sri Giridhar and put him on the top of the hill and had a beautiful abhishek. And following in the footsteps of Krishna, he had an incredible anakut. The whole village of Aniur took all of their surplus of foods and made mountains and kuns of bhoga. It was such a festival. Chanting, dancing, feasting, parikrama. And when other Brijabasi villages heard about that, every day a different village came to do the anakuta for Giridhar Gopal. All those wonderful histories that have been worshipped in the hearts of Gaudiya Vaishnavas for over five centuries took place at Govinda Kund. As we continue the parikrama on the mountain of Sri Giriraj is the temple of Doka Dauji. It's a temple of Balaram. We don't go up because he's on the hill. But Doka Dauji, he's crouching down and he's made of a black, or he has appeared in a black complexion. And the explanation is, this is in memory of when Sri Balaramji was roaming on Sri Giriraj, and Krishna and gopis near the Rasa Stali and Chandra Sarovar were performing their Raslila. And Balaram from Sri Govardhan Hill was crouched down watching. And as he was seeing the beautiful form of his beloved brother Krishna playing his flute and reciprocating love with gopis and dancing, he was so intimately mesmerized with love, so absorbed in Krishna, that his beautiful form, which is white like a spring cloud, became dark like a monsoon cloud in his absorption. Then there is Apsaravan. Within Apsaravan is Apsarakund. During the Abhishek of Krishna, the time of Indra Puja, Govardhan Puja, the Apsaras, they were dancing here, and they had their Abhishek here. And it is explained that at Apsarakund, the 24 principal incarnations or avatars of Krishna are forever performing their pastimes on the banks of Apsarakund. And sometimes when Krishna would be with the gopis, he would manifest his pastimes as the avatars. One time in front of the gopis, he took a 12-arm form of Vishnu. And then Subal manifested the form of Garuda. And Vishnu got on the back of Garuda. And Subal started taking him around. And the gopis were so much struck with wonder. Just see how sweet Krishna is. He can do all these things. Still, they didn't think he was God. And for the gopas, when they would herd their cows around Govardhan Hill at Apsarakund on the banks, Krishna would manifest his form of Varaha Dev and lift up something representing the earth. And they would all be clapping. And another time he manifested his form of Sri Ramchandra, the son of Dasarath. And the gopas were so excited, they all manifested forms as monkeys. And they all played together. And during the Rasa Lila of Sri Sri Radha Govinda at Govardhan, sometimes in their ecstatic love, because you see, rasa lila, ras means the deep expressions of the mellows of loving exchange. And on the spiritual level of Vrindavan, these loving exchanges have unlimited ways of expressing themselves. And Krishna and gopis, their bodies are spiritual. They can manifest in any way for the purpose of giving pleasure to each other. So here at Apsarakund, Krishna's body would melt into a liquid ecstasy. And it filled a kund called Navalakund, just beside Apsarakund. And Sri Radha and gopis, their bodies, and their, which are non-different from their love, would melt in ecstasy and fill Apsarakund. Apsarakund is the liquid personified love of Sri Radha and gopis, and Krishna is Krishna's personified love of Sri Radha and gopis. And we have the chance to come to these places. We may not be able to understand it intellectually or logically, but with faith in the inconceivable lila of love of Vrindavan, we can bathe in that love. We could sprinkle that love. We could drink that love. Apsara and Navala grunt. A little further, that whole area is called Punjari. It's the far end of Sri Giriraj. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas tell that Giriraj has taken the form like a peacock, and Punjari is the tail. Many beautiful things are eternally taking place at Punjari. There is one temple, Punjari Kalota, with a really, really extraordinary form of a cowherd boy. His name is Mota. And when Krishna and Balaram were leaving with Akrura from Vrindavan to Mathura, Lauta had prepared bhoga to offer to Krishna. He's a cowherd boy. And he stopped Krishna on the way and said, I have prepared bhoga for you. Please come and take. Krishna Balaram, they cannot refuse the loving offerings of the devotees. So he said, I will come back the day after tomorrow and honor your bhoga. And Lauta said, I will stand here. I will not drink water. I will not eat food until you come to honor the bhoga. And he stood. And he has a little stick. Still waiting. The amazing thing is this Murti of Lauta is he's quite heavyweight for a little cowherd boy. You have all seen? How is it? He's not eating for thousands of years or drinking. In the spirit of his humility, his patience, his faith in separation from Krishna, he's being nourished with that prema. It reminds us of the story from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Mukunda Dutt was chastised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he will not see me for 10 million. No, I don't. I don't want to see his face. And Mukunda Dutt was weeping and crying, will I ever be able to see Lord Chaitanya again? Will I ever be able to see him? And Srivas Thakur felt such compassion to Mukunda. He came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Mukunda is weeping, he's crying, he loves you. Whenever he chants the holy names, everyone's hearts melt. What has he done? Please let him see you. He said, I will not see him. Shiva said, Mukunda is crying. Will he ever get to see you again? Mahaprabhu said, after 10 million births. Mukunda heard that. He was so happy. 10 million births, only 10 million births I get to see the Lord. He was dancing and crying and celebrating in jubilation. Lord Chaitanya was laughing. He said, bring him now. And Mukunda, they said, Mukunda, Mahaprabhu wants to see you now. But he was so totally intoxicated in a trance of 10 million births only. He was just, 10 million births, I will see, I will see. And they said, Mukunda, come now, I will see, I will see. And they picked him up and they put him right in front of Lord Gauranga. And Lord Chaitanya is very happy. So this is a very important principle that Lauta, Gopa, and Mukunda are teaching us. That the darshan of Krishna, love of Krishna, is not a cheap thing. Even if there's no taste, just understanding what the value is of what we're being given. Even if chanting 16 rounds, 64 rounds, whatever it may be, for many, many births, following regulative principles, performing seva. We should just be so happy that it will come. That is patience. That patience is an expression of humility. We're not demanding. We're not expecting according to our plan. Sharanagati means Krishna. I'm giving my heart to your plan. Ashlisya Vapadara Tampanashtam. Lautababa is teaching us one of the most important principles, to remain faithful, enthusiastic, and patient on the path of bhakti. And to cultivate the ecstasies of separation through our prayers and through our sadhana and through our seva. Just beyond that is Mani Kundali Cave. It's a cave where Sri Sri Radha Gopinath would perform their very special leelas at Govardhan. It was also a place where Champaglata Devi, one of the Sakis of Braj Bhumi, would perform her leelas of offering beautiful flowers and wonderful, wonderful seva to Radharani and Govinda Dev. And Raghava Pandit, that great associate of Lord Chaitanya, he lived in that cave. Just beyond is Surabhi Kund. We discussed the importance of this place on the day of Govardhan Puja. It is where Indra, with all of his riches, opulence, and powers, humbled himself before a simple mother cow. Because she loved Krishna. And her prayer opened the doors for Indra to receive Krishna's mercy. Just as the Nagapatnis, their prayers opened the doors for Kaliya to receive Krishna's mercy. For us today, Surabhi Kund represents the place of forgiveness. All that we have done in this life, all that we have done in previous lives, be forgiven if we sincerely take shelter of the Lord's dear devotees. Nityananda Prabhu, he started his Namhata at Surabhi Kunj in Navadvip. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made his home near Surabhi Kunj in Navadvip. This principle of compassion, of mercy, of seeking forgiveness, and also giving forgiveness. It's a universal principle. When we forgive others, then we become receptive to be forgiven as well. Rudra Kund. Mahadev Shankar. There are many wonderful places here in Vrindavan that he presides. Gopeshwar Mahadev. Kameshwar Mahadev. Bhuteshwar Mahadev. Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Nandeshwar Mahadev. Rudrakund is a place that Lord Shiva, seeing the beautiful pastimes of Radha Govinda Dev at Govardhan, filled the kund with his tears. And the gopis, when they would be in separation from Krishna, they would weep incessant tears of love there at Rudrakund. Then we have Jatipur. Madhavendra Puri, that is where he resided. He was a sannyasi, a jati. This is the place of the great sannyasi Madhavendra Puri. And just at Jatipur above is the place where the Gopal temple was, where he built his temple for Sri Nathji, Sri Gopalji. For those who are followers of Pushti Marg, we find the Mukharavinda, the face of Giriraj, where there's constantly crowds of people pouring milk on Sri Giriraj. And I remember when I first came there in 1971, 72, and I saw dozens and dozens of people taking such nice milk and pouring it on the Shila. Just huge quantities of milk. Just one person, they were standing in line with buckets of milk, just one after another, after another, after another, after another. There were like thousands of gallons of milk being poured on Sri Giriraj. And it was just coming down and on the ground. And in those days, it would just go right into the gutter system. You know gutter? What is the Indian word for gutter? The side of the road where usually sewage flows, you know that place? Well, the milk, it was just milk flowing there. And, you know, in the West, gutters are not considered very sanitary places. But I saw Brijavasis getting down on their knees to the gutters. The gutters on the side of the roads flowing even half a block down. And they're drinking and sprinkling and giving it to their children. So what could you do except go down and drink it? Mukharavinda. And just there is the Samadhi Mandir of Vitalnath, the son of Sri Vallabhacharya, and the Baitak of Sripad Vallabhacharya, where he performed his sadhana and his bhajan. Little further is Sakistali, which is the place of Chandravali. And then we come to Udavakund. There, this kund is dedicated to Sri Uddhava. In fact, he gave discourses at this kund. But we have spoken previously in our yatra how Uddhava came to Vrindavan because he was Krishna's most intimate, loving friend in Mathura and later in Dwarka. Krishna wanted to give him the highest mercy. Krishna was with him all day long, every day. But the highest mercy was to send him to be with the gopis, so he could understand the extent of the ecstatic love of Vrindavan. When Uddhava came to Sri Brajbhumi, he met Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamai, and they were always crying. Have you seen Krishna? What is Krishna doing? When is he going to return home? Mother Nanda Maharaj said, look at Yashoda. She can't eat, she can't sleep, she's crying for Krishna. Tell him, when will he come home? And look at his friends, the Sakas and the Gopis. Everyone is drying up. When will Krishna return home? When Uddhava's son, Nanda Maharaj's love, such absorption in Krishna, such ecstasy in separation. Uddhava was so humbled. He said, "You are the most fortunate person." Nanda Maharaj chastised him. He said, "What do you know about fortune? How can you say I am fortunate? I am like a man, a poor man, who attained the greatest treasure. A man in poverty who finally attains a great treasure and doesn't recognize the value of that treasure, neglects it, and then it's taken away, it's lost. That person is the most unfortunate." Krishna, the supreme object of love, was my son. He was with us every day. But I couldn't really appreciate, and now I've lost him. Nanda Maharaj fell unconscious. And he said, "And you say I'm fortunate? I am most unfortunate." And Uddhava realized, he's so fortunate, I don't even know how to talk to him. And then he met the gopas. And the gopas were in a trance. They're just roaming around the pasture. Some of them are just looking toward Mathura, waiting. The only thing moving was their tears. Other gopas were playing the games they used to play with Krishna while weeping in separation. "Where is Gopal?" And then he met gopis. And Sri Radha was Sri Radha in Srimad Bhagavatam, she saw a bee. And that beautiful Brahmar Gita, where she's expressing her love to Krishna through the messenger of the bee. Why doesn't Krishna just let us die? Gaur Govinda Maharaj, His Holiness, quoting from the Acharyas, expresses what Sri Radharani was saying in great detail. One of the outbursts of love, where she was speaking to the bee and to Uddhava through the bee and to Krishna, that I'm like a little animal that's caught in a house that's on fire, and you want to escape the house because you're burning and burning and burning to death. But there's a lock on the door. There's a latch that cannot be opened. And therefore you can't get out. And you're just praying, "Let me out, I'm burning." She said like that, "My Atma, my living force, is in this body. And it's burning unbearably from the fire of separation from Krishna. And I want to give up this life. I can't, because Krishna put a bolt on the door. The bolt is His promise that He will return. When He left Vrindavan with the Krura, He promised, 'I will return.' And that hope, that prayer, that dream of the fulfillment of His promise, us within the burning house of this life." She would cry so many tears. Uddhav Kyari near Nandagam, that it would make a small lake around her. Can you imagine? Uddhava was watching. And then she would fall unconscious in such a fever of love that that as soon as she fell in that lake, it immediately evaporated due to the heat of her body. And the other gopis would be fanning her and singing Krishna's names to her. And when Uddhava saw this, he prayed, "I don't know anything about loving Krishna. I thought I did. Krishna sent me here because he wanted to show me what real love is. This is ecstasy. Totally selfless love. He wanted to take the dust of the feet of all of the gopas and the gopis and worship them because he knew without getting their blessings, without serving them with all humility, there's no other way of getting this love." Rupa Goswami tells, you can't get this love by approaching Krishna directly. It's only by following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. He understood this. He prayed to relinquish his position as Krishna's very best friend in Mathura, to relinquish his position of having a body which looked almost identical to Krishna, to relinquish the position of being one of the great, most important princes of the Yadu dynasty. He wanted to become a little shrub, a little grass blade at Govardhan. Because here at Govardhan, this is where the loving pastimes of the gopas and gopal and the gopis and gopinath are forever enacted. And if I become, I can't embarrass them by taking dust from their feet, because he's a prince and they're simple gopis. He didn't want to make them ashamed. Rather than that, let me take birth as a little gulmalata, a little creeper. And then gopis, cows, calves, bulls, gopas, maybe someday even Sri Radharani or Krishna, they will step on my head and I will receive the dust of their feet. Then this love of Vrindavan I could achieve. It's not that we just come to Vrindavan and get some mantra and think we're gopis and gopas and all that stuff. This is the level that Uddhava understood the value of this. When we actually have that humility and that spirit in our seva, when we have that humility and that spirit as we chant the holy names, then our hearts can be receptive to receive the bhav of Brajbhumi, which can only come through grace. Uddhavakund, very, very holy place. He also brought Krishna's beloved devotees there to discuss Krishna's wonderful pastimes, the Srimad Bhagavat. And there we go to meditate upon what Uddhava represents in the great literatures of our acharyas. Soon we come into the area of Sri Radha Kund. I should continue. I'll be brief. There is Malyahara Kund. That is the wonderful little lake, Kund, where the story of the Mukta Charita by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami took place. What is it? Sri Radha and Gopis, they had some pearls. And Krishna and his gopas came and asked for some pearls for his cows, Hamsi. And they, you want us to give pearls for your cows? They didn't give. So Krishna, he took some, he asked Nanda and Yashoda, give me some pearls. He said, why do you want pearls? He said, just give me some pearls. I want to plant them in the ground. Because I have seen how you take seeds and it grows into beautiful bushes and plants and trees and so many other seeds are grown. I want to plant some pearls. Nanda Maharaj said, it doesn't work like that. Seeds are different. Pearls don't grow. They're found in the ocean. Krishna said, no, this is Vrindavan. So he planted some pearls, and soon they grew into wonderful, wonderful trees. Pearl trees. And there were beautiful pearls of all different colors, and the pearls had an ecstatic fragrance. And he started putting these pearls on all his cows, on all the gopas. He was putting magnificent pearl necklaces on every monkey in Vrindavan. When the gopis asked for some of these pearls, he said, no, I will not give them. So they decided, if Krishna could do this, then we could do it. So Sri Radha and gopis, they asked their parents, give us pearls, we want to plant them. We want to grow better pearls than Krishna. They said, pearls don't grow. She said, no, we have seen, they grow. So they went and took all their parents' pearls and planted them in the ground. And oh, they wanted to make such nice pearls. They watered the ground with ghee from Surabhi cows. And butter, and freshly churned Padmaganda milk and yogurt. And after some time, thorn bushes grew. Meanwhile, the parents were saying, where are our pearls? Give us back our pearls. So they didn't know what, all the pearls were gone. All there was is thorns. So they asked Krishna. And there's a beautiful, beautiful paintings of this Leela where Lalita, Vishakha, Brinda Devi, they're negotiating with Krishna, trying to get pearls. And there's a beautiful dialogue between them of love, and Sri Radha's listening. And ultimately Krishna, he makes a special box with his own hands and puts the most precious of all pearls and all of creation in these little boxes and personally writes the name of Sri Radha and each gopi and delivers them. And everyone is very happy. That is Mukta Charita by Raghunath Das Goswami. And that took place at Malyahara Kund. Shivakur. There's the famous story. There's a temple of Shiva there, who was a protector of Sri Radha Kund. And there's also Kundeshwar Mahadev. Several Shiva temples in the Govardhan and Radha Kund area. was a little jackal. She was a girl jackal. And jackals are
scavengers.
Usually jackals eat dead corpses. So even among animals, they're considered outcasts. If there's any caste system among animals, the jackals are the lowest. And their voices are really not sweet at all. You know, the roar of a lion has a majestic, awesome experience. Yes? Everyone? This is Aishwarya, not Madhurya. Lion. Actual lions, when they roar, one lion would be 10 times louder than all of you put together. I have the microphone. And the cuckoo and the nightingale sing so sweet. But the jackal? It's just a horrible sound, the jackals. Nothing musical. It's just like kind of disgusting sound. Unless you're a jackal. And, you know, they're scrawny and they're... So these children, you know, they saw a little jackal. And they just wanted to have fun. They were boys. I don't think girls do this kind of cruel fun. At least I haven't seen it. When I was a little boy in America, girls are like learning cooking and singing songs and dancing and playing, making dolls happy and everything, and boys are beating up each other and torturing each other and making each other cry. You know, it's... So anyways, these little boys, they were throwing rocks at this jackal and they were beating the jackal with sticks, poo, 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 and the jackal was... just screaming, and the jackal was crying, and the jackal was trembling, and they were beating and beating and beating and beating, and they just wouldn't stop beating, and the whole time they were beating, to make it worse, they were laughing really loud, because they were just having such fun seeing this jackal suffer. So the jackal found a hole in the ground and jumped in the hole in the ground, and the boys were really enlivened. They took wood and built a whole fire around the hole and over the hole, and they lit it. It was blazing, and they knew the jackal would have to come out, otherwise it would burn to death. And they were standing around the hole with sticks and stones ready to beat it. And the jackal was crying helplessly from her heart. And Sridhartha was walking by in the Radhakund area, and she told Lalita, "No one should suffer in my home like this. Bring her to me." And Lalita Sakhi was like the guru. She brings us to Sridhartha. Lalita Sakhi chased the boys away, who were like the three modes of material nature. The fire, the samsara, samsara dhavana lalita loka. And the jackal, so timid, so terrified, just kind of peeked her head out of the hole. It was crying and trembling. And Lalita Sakhi picked her up and brought her to Sridhartha. And Radha put her hand on the head of the jackal and blessed her. And the jackal put her head on Sridhartha's lotus feet. And Sridhartha's blessing, the jackal became personal loving pet for the rest of eternity. That is Srirada's grace. That is how Sri Radha, when she sees that we are sincere, she sends her devotees to come and help us to come to her. And like that jackal, from our hearts, with all humility, understanding the predicament we're in this material world, we have to learn to cry out the holy name. It is there that Krishna liberated Avistasura. That Asura came in the form of a bull. He was huge. His hump was in the clouds. His tail was raised and it was above the clouds. He was a mountain. He was galloping into Brajbhumi. Force of his hooves on the ground were creating the entire earth to shake. His massive razor-pointed horns were face down. His eyes were red, massive, gigantic red eyes in anger. He was galloping. He was snorting, and the air coming out of his nose was hot like fire. He was screaming. Terrifying roars. And all the residents of Vrindavan were terrified. He was coming so suddenly. You see, these asuras, when they came to Vrindavan, it's not like, you know, when a cyclone, you know it's going to come in 2 days. All of a sudden, Aristasura is galloping in and nobody knows what to do. It's all just happening. And Krishna, he just stood right in front of Aristasura and smiled. He was challenging Aristasura in such a sweet way. And Aristasura, the fact that Krishna was not afraid, and he's just a little tiny boy, and he's so big and strong, that made him even more furious. And he galloped to Krishna with his horns down. And little Krishna took him with his little lotus hands by the horns and flipped him over and threw him. Aristasura fell down some distance away, and he got up even more angry and charged at Krishna again. Krishna took him by the horns again, flipped him over, and with his lovely little lotus feet, kicked him again and again. Aristasura was in such a trauma, being kicked by these tiny little soft lotus feet of Krishna, that to him were like thunderbolts. Yegatamam prapadyante. To the gopis, they're softer than flower petals. To Yashoda Mai, she's worried that a pebble might touch his foot and hurt him. And Aristasura, they were thunderbolts. A giant bull passed urine and stool simultaneously. Blood came from his mouth. But because Krishna made him do it, it was actually beautiful. Can you imagine the volumes? But it was beautiful. And he died. And the demigods showered flowers, and the gopas were, "Well done, Krishna." When Krishna came to meet Sri Radha and gopis, they told him, "You killed a bull. That's very impious. He will only come close to you after you purify yourself." Krishna said, "The bull was a demon. He would have killed everyone if I didn't do that. I liberated him." She said, "Still, it was a bull. You should bathe in all the holy places in the universe." Krishna said, "I will bring them all here." So he took his foot and made him. He stomped his foot in the dust of Vrindavan and made a footprint. And then he called all the holy places of the universe to come. And they all came in personified forms. And they were all introducing themselves, who they were, where they were from. And they all filled the kund. Krishna said to Sri Radha, "Why don't you come and bathe in my kund?" She said, no, we will make our own kund. This kund you bathed. So therefore the sins of the bull, Hatya, are here. So then Sri Radha and her gopis, with their bangles, they dug a kund. And then they were getting water from Manasi Ganga and passing it to one another with buckets. And Sri Krishna, through his glance, he told the kuns, all of the holy places in the world, to come and beg for Sri Radha's mercy. So the personification of all holy places came with folded hands, weeping tears before Sri Radharani, that our greatest fortune, our ultimate aspiration, is if you bestow your mercy upon us and allow us to come and fill your bathing place. Please allow us to serve you in this way. And for the pleasure of Krishna, and out of mercy upon them, she smiled. And the water of Shamakund overflowed and filled Sri Radhakund. And Krishna told that Sri Radharani, as you are most dear to me, your kund, Radhakund, is most dear to me. And as your love is the ultimate pleasure of my life, anyone who comes to Sri Radha Kund with faith and devotion will receive your love and be so dear to me. Radha Kund is Sri Radha's praying over love in the good form. And the scriptures have proclaimed it is the holiest of all holy places in all of creation. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, he was looking for it. But nobody knew where it was. But when he was doing his Govardhan Parikrama around that time, he came to the village of Arithagram because he knew it was going to be there. And he asked the villagers, and nobody knew. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting under a tamal tree. That place where he sat is still there today. Sitting under that tamal tree, he was meditating. And being Sri Sri Radha Govinda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked out and saw two small puddles in a paddy field and knew for certain, this is my beloved Shamakund and Radhakund. And in great ecstasy, not only for himself, but for all people, for all time to come who are devotees, He bathed in those puddles. He took the mud from those puddles and put tilak on 12 parts of his body. He ate part of that mud. And in great ecstasy, he was dancing around those puddles with his arms raised, crying out the holy name. The villagers were amazed. They all heard about Radhakund, but they didn't know. This was Radhakund and Shyamakund. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later sent the six Goswamis to Vrindavan. He gave them primarily the instructions to extract the very essence of all the Vedas and expand it into transcendental literature, which authoritatively and with deep ras establish the unconditional, unmotivated, loving, devotional service of the residents of Vrindavan as the ultimate realization of spiritual perfection. To discover the lost deities of Vrindavan and build temples for them and establish the worship of Krishna and Sri Radha in those temples. By their example, to teach the world the etiquette of a Vaishnava, the example of those in the renounced order of life, the example of a Vaishnava totally absorbed in sadhana, bhajan, and Vaishnava compassion. And also to rediscover the places of Krishna's lila and excavate them. To establish Vrindavan in such a way that the eternal Dham is revealed to the people of the world. Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was in Puri, he became so dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a little Govardhan Shila, which was his life and soul. It was always moistened by the tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love. He wore it on his heart. He pressed it to his head. He gave that Shila and a Gunja Mala to Raghunath Das Goswami. And that became Raghunath's life and soul. When Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar, and others departed from their lila in this world, Raghunath Das Goswami came to Govardhan. His idea was to end his life in separation, but Rupan Sanatan gave him a place to live at Radhakund and prayed to him to stay with them. He lived alone there on the banks of these little ponds. Radhakund and Shyamakund, they were just little grassy ponds. But how he worshipped those holy places. He left the most elegant riches, power, and fame in the world to live in these little muddy ponds. Because he understood, he was seeing the lila of Radha and Krishna there. It is described one time when he was sitting on the pond of Sri Radhakund, Sanatan Goswami came to visit him and saw a tiger drinking water from Radhakund.
just a few feet away from Raghunath Das Goswami. And he saw Krishna manifest within this world with a stick standing between Raghunath and the tiger. He told Raghunath Das Goswami what happened. Raghunath Das Goswami was very humble. Another time Sanatana Goswami came, and it was the middle of the day in the summer. The sun was burning. And Sanatana saw Sri Radharani holding her shawl, a part of her cloth that she was wearing, over the head of Raghunath Das Goswami. She was standing in the sun directly while giving him shade. Sanatana Goswami told Raghunath Das that you are sitting here so absorbed in chanting, you don't even notice the sun, you don't even notice the tigers, but Krishna and Radha are coming to protect you. We are here to serve them, not to have them serve us. So you should make a bhajan kutir, a little house to live. And on the order of Sri Sanatana Goswami, the first little bhajan kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami was made. One day Raghunath Das Goswami was thinking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted us to excavate these holy places. Radhakund are just, Shyamakund are just little muddy ponds. If only I excavate them. But then he was thinking, in order to excavate them, I have to raise funds. That means I need a lot of money. And he already gave up all his money. So he just erased the idea from his mind. But Srimati Radharani heard his prayer. And one very wealthy man went to Badrinath with a lot of money to offer that money to build a beautiful temple at Badri Gasha. And when he went before the Murti of Badri Vishal, he had a dream. And he was told, no, don't put your money here. Go to Brajbhumi. Go to Sri Radha Kund and give all your money to Raghunath Das Goswami for excavating that locality. So that man came and gave all his money to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami is the one who actually excavated Radha Kund and Shyamakund. The design was two squares. But one day when they were actually doing the excavation for Shyamakund, the next morning they were going to cut down some trees. But that night, Yudhisthira Maharaj appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami and told him that myself and the Pandavas are standing as trees on the banks of Shyamakund. Do not cut us down. So that morning, Raghunath Das came and told the excavators, don't chop down any of these trees. So they had to make the kund in such a shape by Krishna and Radharani's arrangement to honor the trees. Raghunath Das Goswami lived his life at Radha Kund and Shyamakund. So many beautiful stories. When Janakadevi came to Vrindavan, after Rupa and Sanatan had already left the world, she was told about the condition of Raghunath Das Goswami in separation. And she immediately, as soon as she heard it, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu came to Radha Kund. And there she met Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and gave so much of her mercy to them. and receive their blessings as well. And there at Radhakund, one day Janava Devi heard a flute playing, a sweet flute, and she looked across the water and saw Gopinath sitting under a tamal tree playing his flute. This beautiful story is in the Bhakta Ratnakar. And that became Janava Baitak. That was her sitting place where she would do her bhajan. It was there on the banks of Radhakund that every day for 3 or 4 hours Raghunath Das Goswami would narrate the pastimes and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as no one else in the world knew. Swarup Damodar Goswami had already left us, but Raghunath Das Goswami had the diary. And he also would hear every day what Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai were experiencing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was the eyewitness of so much. Rupan Sanatan said, please speak these leelas. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami came to Radhakund and Shyamakund when he was extremely old man. When he was in his 90s. The Goswamis of Vrindavan asked him to write the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, exactly what he had heard from Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And on the banks of Sri Radhakund and Shyamakund, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, such a miracle. In his late 90s, in age, he wrote the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. On the banks of Radhakund, Shyamakund, over the ages, there's the Baitak of Madhavendra Puri, Bhajan Kutir of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he wrote many of his wonderful Vaishnav literatures describing the deepest rasas and deepest philosophies of bhakti. Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda, Srinivasacharya spent time at Sri Radhakund. Baladev Vidyabhushan had his kutir at Sri Radhakund. Jiva Goswami had a kutir of Radhakund. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They all performed their bhajan there. And later on, Thakur Bhakti Vinod and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had bhajan kutirs at Sri Radhakund. And it was on the banks of Radhakund that Srila Prabhupada received an instruction from his guru. Because at that time, in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's mat, they began very small in a little temple in Oak Tudanga Junction Road, just a rented little house. And later on, a very deeply, purely devoted disciple who he spent his entire fortune to build the Bagh Bazar Bodhiya Math. And the movement was spreading and expanding. Incredibly, all over India. But there became conflict between devotees, leading devotees. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was walking along Radhakund with Srila Prabhupada, and at that time Srila Prabhupada had his little son with him. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, there is fire in the mat. It would be better use if we took the value of the marble to print and publish books. He tells Srila Prabhupada, you should, if you ever get money, print and publish books. the seed of the greatest distribution of Vaishnava Vedic literature in the history of the world. Tens and tens and millions of Vaishnava literatures. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ishopanishad, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Navina Nirada Prabhu. Do you know how many books have been distributed to date? Navina Nirada Prabhu, a devoted minister of book distribution, is telling us 500 million of Srila Prabhupada's books have been distributed. The seed of that incredible miracle was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's instructions to Prabhupada on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. That little seed became such a tree. And as of now, 500 million fruits on that tree have been tasted by people of this world. And how many more will be for the future? It also reveals to us the faith in Srila Prabhupada's heart, in the words of Guru Maharaj. When he went to Radha Damodar, even before, when he was in his Grihastha ashram, he was watering that seed through Back to Godhead magazine. He would write all the articles. He would edit them, he would proofread them, he would put them in typesetting, he would print them, he would publish them, he would pay for them, he would distribute them, he'd have to buy the paper for them. And later on at Radha Damodar, he was writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and when the first three volumes comprising the first canto, when he finished that, and he got the permission to go on Jaladut. He had in Calcutta. He was only for himself carrying a little bag of cereal, a little change of clothes, and a bead bag and an umbrella. But he had these crates of books, Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he came off the Jaladuta and he didn't see anyone with him, he had confidence. He didn't know whether to turn right or left. He was just walking in New York. He had no money, didn't know anyone, just had heart attacks. But he was confident because he said, I had complete faith in the instruction of my spiritual master. I had complete faith in the power of the holy name. And I had complete faith in the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had with him, the greatest wealth. Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach us the greatness of Sri Radha Kund. When he told devotees, don't bathe, just sprinkle water. According to time and circumstance, that can be explained in different ways. But whether we take our bath or whether we sprinkle water, the important thing we should understand is this. According to our faith, we're going to get the reciprocation of Sri Radha's grace. When Prabhupada saw devotees were just playfully swimming around in Radha Kund, he understood this is not the way to approach the most sanctified holy place in all of creation. He said, reverentially, put three drops on your head. That is your bath. what is the power of a fraction of one drop of Radha-kund? It's unfathomable. It is inconceivable. We should have such faith that just by seeing Radha-kund, just by being touched by a breeze of Radha-kund, just by touching the water, even a drop on our head, is the ultimate blessing of Sri Radharani. We should be in such gratitude. We should be in such ecstasy, understanding its value. Srila Prabhupada was so expert. Sahaja means taking things cheaply. He taught us how to approach in such a way that we really cultivate understanding the true value, the real blessing, and to be totally humbled to receive that blessing. Whether we're bathing or putting a drop of water, Srila Prabhupada taught us what it really means to bathe in Radha-kund. Sri Giriraj Govardhan is one of the supreme gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave to us and has asked us to share it with the whole world. And I would like to introduce my dear godbrother Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu. He has just compiled a magnificent book. I haven't read it because he just gave it to me today. But the concept of the book is wonderful. It's called Acharya. And he's an empowered artist. He's done so many wonderful sculptures and artwork for our whole movement. And he's drawn Leelas of Prabhupada's, let us say, prime aspects of Prabhupada's life. Pictures of Prabhupada's life, there are no photographs of, but he just, through his love and devotion, made beautiful drawings, Leelas that Prabhupada has told. Many intimate leelas, wonderful leelas. And he's explained and given these wonderful pictures, and he's selling this book in the back of our pandal. He has a book table, and I sincerely encourage whoever can to take the blessings of this book. And at this time, before we have our last kirtan and dharmadharastakam, this is the final satsang of our yatra. I would just like to say that each and every one of you, by your sincerity, your enthusiasm, your incredible devotion, you have made this yatra something very, very special. And I thank you for that. And this yatra is not ending. It's bringing us into a new beginning. Srila Prabhupada invited devotees from all over the world to come to Sri Vrindavan Dham and Sri Mayapur Dham. And how much he struggled to build temples that would accommodate for people all over the world in Mayapur and Vrindavan. At the time, there was no such thing. And Srila Prabhupada's idea was not that we just come and live, but to really appreciate the greatness of Krishna's holy land, Srila Prabhupada's home, and to come here, to absorb ourselves in prayer, in seva, in devotional service, in Hari Katha, in Hari Kirtan, together as a spiritual family. Vrindavan in Krishna's Leela is all one family. The Brijabasi community is all a family. I gave an example the other day from one of our acharyas of how when Krishna went into the Yamuna at Nandagat, everyone was extremely devastated. Because when the gopas or the gopis or the cows or Yashoda or Nanda, when they were feeling separation from Krishna when he was in Vrindavan, the separation was one moment like 12 years or more, but still, wherever he was, they were feeling, he's in our house. Because everyone's house in Vrindavan is everyone else's house. Everyone's home is everyone's home because it's a family. Everyone loves each other as a family. Everyone cares about each other's children as they care for their own children. Everyone cares about each other's parents as they care for their own parents because Krishna's in the center. Srila Prabhupada wanted his society to be an international family. Small parts, bigger parts. So we come to Vrindavan as a family, following in the footsteps of the great souls, going to these holy places, getting the blessings of the dust and the kuns and the trees of Sri Vrindavan Dham, getting the blessings of the Brijavasis and the cows, and ultimately the blessings that are stored in every molecular particle of all of our previous acharyas and Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev's eternal leelas. That's where we are, together. And Prabhupada brought us here to become spiritually surcharged, united in that spiritual blessing. And then to carry the blessings of the Holy Dham back to our homes, wherever they may be in this world, with that inspiration, and share it with each other and with the world through the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. At this time, I would like Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu to briefly tell us about his new book. And I'd like to also ask all my God brothers and God sisters to come on the stage now, and Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, His Holiness, to just speak a few words just of appreciation.